an Armageddon what-if scenario. This is the Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast. We talk about Survivor Leagues. We talk about spreads. We talk about totals. We talk about money lines. We're looking for winners. And you can use this podcast however you wish. I just hope that I give you a second opinion that either pauses your thought on something or confirms your thought on something. The Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group. I'm a paid non-attorney spokesperson reminding you that permanent alimony is no longer law in the state of Florida. If you are an adult male residing in the state of Florida and you continue to pay permanent alimony, the law is now on your side. Brandon Legal Group can help reduce or eliminate your financial obligation going forward. 813-902-3576 or visit brandonlegalgroup.com. They are your full service law firm. Thank you for giving me a minute or so at the start of these podcasts to tell you about my sponsors. They pay for the podcast, so you don't have to. My email is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Recording this podcast on Tuesday early afternoon, and I originally cut a version of this podcast late Monday night, and I'm glad I waited for two reasons. Number one, it looks like Aiden O'Connell, not Desmond Ridder, is going to be the starting quarterback for the Raiders on Black Friday against Kansas City. We'll get to that. Also, glad I waited because my friend and colleague Gil Alexander on VEASAN, host of A Numbers Game, had on one of the people who is holding an entry, and there are only 54 left, in the $14 million Circus Survivor contest. And it was a very interesting conversation. One of the things I took out of that conversation was Gil's breakdown that of the remaining 54 entries, 17 of them still have the Lions to use, 37 of them have the Chiefs to use. And of course, Circa makes the Thanksgiving games and Black Friday game a 13A week that must be played separate. And then the Sunday-Monday games are 13B. So here's the what-if scenario. And we have seen a number of double-digit favorites lose outright this year. It happened a lot in the first month of the season. Not so much since then, but it's just sitting there. And we just saw it also, I believe, with Washington against the Dallas Cowboys. I believe that was, at one point, a double-digit number. I know it was a big number. If the Lions lose to the Bears, if the Chiefs lose to the Raiders, is Circus Survivor over? Is that contest over? Or is it fair to assume that more than one person of the remaining 54 entries, and some have two, are going to step out of line from using either the Lions or the Chiefs and use the Packers in the bad weather against Miami in the snow, or really step out there and take Dallas against Tommy DeVito and the New York Giants? That's the what-if scenario. I'll just say this, and this is a broader Survivor comment for everybody playing in Survivor Leagues that has Detroit and or Kansas City. I doubt you have both to get through the first 3 months. It was just too tempting in various spots. The Lions 2 weeks ago against the Jaguars. I think that Chiefs week two or week three game against the Bears, something like that, to not use what are the teams with the best records in the National Football League. I think it is more likely that the Lions and Chiefs both struggle and or one of them lose, then both of them win in a blowout and cover the number. There's going to be some drama in one or both of these games. The Lions haven't had a lot of drama out there in their games, but the Bears create it and ultimately fall short. The Chiefs, we just saw it again in the game against the Carolina Panthers. In the Chiefs' last 13 games, got this from Gil's show too, 12-1 straight up, 2-11 against the spread. So we're going to get fourth quarters worth watching, in my opinion, on one or both of these big favorites, Thanksgiving, Black Friday. Again, the weather makes me highlight Green Bay against a Miami team that is playing good football. Miami, probably more than Cincinnati right now, is that wild card to the wild cards. Because in the AFC, it sure looks like our wild cards are going to be, in no particular order, Baltimore, Chargers, Broncos. We thought the Bengals could challenge. They lost head-to-head to the Chargers. The Bengals could still get back in this. In the end, I don't think they will. I think it would take an injury to Justin Herbert, to Bo Nix, for something like that to happen. And we sadly wonder when the next Tagovailoa injury is. And it's not from his history of injuries as much as it would just derail the Dolphins completely. They are built solely for him to win, which is a flaw because they went into the season without a capable backup quarterback. But some would say the Niners just did the same thing. So I'll put Green Bay out there as a team I think will get some play this week and looks like a team to me that could win even though Miami has been playing better. I'm not touching Dallas and the New York Giants. Yes, Dallas is coming off the win over Washington. The Giants looked awful against the Buccaneers. The Giants-Cowboys game could come down to Tracy and Dowdle. That's how bad this game is. And I think Tracy's a better running back than Dowdle is. But Dallas's defense might be better than the Giants' defense. So the Sunday-Monday games, and again, that Aiden O'Connell start makes the Raiders more viable. It plays more to the, well, the Raiders surprised everyone last year on Christmas. It was the low point for Kansas City. The Chiefs came off their first loss. Don't look like they learned anything from all those close wins before the Bills beat them good. And Patrick Mahomes had to bail them out against Carolina. As of the time of this taping, we don't know about the return of Isaiah Pacheco, and I don't know that that alone changes what's going on with Kansas City winning close games. Now, as I've used against the Bears, the more close games you lose, the more you're going to lose. It works the other way for the more close games you win, the more you're going to win. But O'Connell, with at least some experience the last 2 years, granted Desmond Ridder had a whole year to fail in Atlanta before finding his way ultimately to Las Vegas. Did he also have a stop in Arizona along the way? Might have. But O'Connell at least fuels the scenario that the Raiders could hang around. And the Raiders in some games they play to a level where they hang around for a few quarters, a half or three quarters, and then they let it get away. So that plays into kind of this being a closer game. But O'Connell gives them hope. So again, the what if, whether it's Circa or the pool I play in, is down to five. I didn't look at how many still had the Lions and the Chiefs left. I know three had Green Bay left. I know three had the Bucks left. We'll get to that. But I don't remember on the Lions and the Chiefs. But if we have a Lions loss and a Chiefs loss, it could it end some survivor pools before we even get to Sunday, Monday, or to week 14? My guess is no on all cards, but it's going to be close. Once you get to Sunday and Monday, there are only a handful of games with point spreads of five or more. And Washington being a 5.5-point favorite against Tennessee doesn't look to get your attention. If anything, I'll consider Tennessee in that game, both spread and outright. Tennessee just winning against the Texans. Speaking of the Texans, so they go to Jacksonville, and last year they were on the other side of everything before we bought into D'Amico and C.J. Stroud and what these Texans were doing. The Jaguars were still front and center as a team we were looking at off the previous year and were a popular choice in week three last year and lost to Houston. It is a division game. It does play to the stat that over 60% of division favorites of five or more have won in the last 20 years. We know Houston has issues. The conversation about C.J. Stroud is starting to be had. That's a bad loss to the Titans. I'm starting to wonder if something we don't know is up with Joe Mixon. The game against Tennessee was one of his worst games of the year. And I saw one reason given was because the Titans totally did things defensively within the tackle box. And that was the reason why Mixon was ineffective, because those runs didn't work. And the attempt to run on stretch plays or on sweeps or anything to the outside were rendered ineffective and might not play to Mixon's strengths. But just keep an eye on this. I'm a huge Joe Mixon fan. Just talked about him at length in my most recent The Todd Wright Toddcast about the running backs who change teams may have changed the running back market for other running backs going forward. But if Joe Mixon, for whatever reason, isn't what he was the first 11 weeks of the season, the Texans are effectively done. They may still win that division because no one else can, but they will be done for this year and it will be a big disappointment. So I'm not on Houston in what otherwise would look like a pylon game against a Jacksonville Jaguar team that seems to be playing out the string, but may or may not have Trevor Lawrence back, which you could look at like the return of Aiden O'Connell. The other spreads of five or more are all Tampa Bay at Carolina, Buffalo against San Francisco, Denver against Cleveland. In order I rank most likely to win outright, I would put Buffalo the highest, then Denver, then Tampa Bay. The reason I put the Bucs third is because their defense isn't as good as the other two. They're on the road. And I think those are the two major reasons there. Carolina has shown, at least for now, they want to play. They want to try to win games. They want to compete. Bryce Young either is along for the ride, or there are some things he's learned in his recent benching for Andy Dalton. Chuba Hubbard is still a factor. We waited all season for Jonathan Brooks, and it wasn't worth the wait. Now, I hope in the long run it is for Jonathan Brooks. But I think Buffalo, Denver, Tampa Bay, in that order, if you're looking for a winner from those three. San Francisco, keep checking status on Purdy. And Bosa seems to mean as much to the defense as Purdy does to the offense. One other game I want to highlight. I like Seattle going to the Jets. That feels like a pile-on game. What are the Jets playing for? What have the Jets done to give you any reason to believe they want to play on a weekly basis? It seems like someone gets blamed every week. We already have drama about next season with Aaron Rodgers. Or can the Jets bench him this season? Meanwhile, Seattle is playing for a division title. Their defense has shown up. We knew with who was in charge as a coach, this defense would show signs. It's going to take a little time. We have the development of Jackson Smith and Jigba in recent weeks. We had that Geno Smith-led drive to beat the 49ers, granted without Bosa, but there's a lot of incentive for the Niners here, and there seems to be belief where the Jets, I think, aren't as into it. Seattle's won more games. Jets aren't winning games. I think Seattle is granted, they're favored on the road by 2.5, but you might look at that and say, well, can't do that, Seattle. There's a lot more to like about the Seahawks right now than the Jets. And I'll just say, I don't know if the traveling secretary or the philosophy changed when Pete Carroll left. But in the Pete Carroll days, Seattle was the best team from the Western United States, winning football games when they traveled east. They knew how to do it. Whether it was the traveling secretary, whether it was Pete Carroll, whether it was other things. The Seahawks just weren't one of those teams you could look at from the West and say, well, they're playing on the East Coast. They're not playing at a normal game time for them. It's a lot of travel. I know the head coach has changed, but we have yet to see in a large enough sample size is what Seattle does playing on the East Coast. Do we dismiss all that just because Pete Carroll's not there anymore? Or do the Seahawks still manage those East Coast road trips very well from an administrative standpoint? So there's a bunch of thoughts. Please send me yours. Also, I know Gil and Kelly talked about the Rams going to New Orleans. I just don't see that as a survivor play. I do like the Rams in that spot. But the fact that the spread is only 3 keeps it sort of off my radar for the purpose of what we're doing in this podcast. But I do like the Rams. I continue to believe the Rams can win the NFC West and potentially go to the conference championship game. Right now, I think the Eagles are the team to beat, not the Lions. I get that the Lions are the Vegas favorites to win the NFC and win the Super Bowl, but I think the Eagles have more going for them overall. But yeah, I'll stand by what I said about the Rams before the season ever began. And I might have been a little ahead of myself, because if it doesn't happen this year, it could very well happen next year. And then beyond that, who replaces Matt Stafford at quarterback? That might be around the time Joe Burrow says the Bengals, yeah, I need to get out of here because you guys aren't committed to winning, and could be a landing spot for Burrow with McVay. And by then, Zach Taylor could be on McVay's staff again. The Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group. You can email me your thoughts on any game this weekend at right.todd@yahoo.com. Enjoy your holiday. Hope the games keep us compelled.